We just had a little, we just had a little technical difficulty, but we're back on.
Okay, I've been asked.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, before we had this technical problem where the phones got disconnected, what I said was, in answering the question on the specific issue of abortion and then expanding that, that I myself have confessed to the sin of murder on numerous occasions. By that means, I wish for the death of other people in my heart. I didn't actually kill them, but I did favor, at that point, their death. It was a sin, of course. And therefore, I was equivalent, in essence, to an abortionist who also wishes the death, the unjustified death of an innocent person. What I am saying is that I did not consider myself at any time outside the church. What I considered myself was a rather sinful Catholic. When it comes to someone like Ted Kennedy or these alleged public Catholics who take terrible positions and advocate terrible policies, unless or until they have made some kind of act of formal renunciation, either in their mind or through their mouth, writing or something like that, they are still Catholics, but they're very bad ones. And, of course, they can't be saved holding that position at their final judgment. So what I would say is that sin by itself, even if it's habitual and perpetual and deals with dogmatic matters, does not exclude a person from the church. Now, we're not talking about excommunication here. We're talking about sort of a voluntary separation of the church. What I'm saying is that I believe you're offering as evidence what appears to reflect internal conviction. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's proper. I think it's a rash judgment to then go into the internal conviction mode and conclude that their internal conviction is one to be separated from the church.
Well, I would have to say that that is actually heretical. The notion that you cannot recognize someone as a heretic until there's been a formal declaration or a formal renunciation is contrary to Catholic teaching. For instance, Pope Pius VI in his Dogmatic Constitution, Auctorum Fidei.
I didn't mean to say that.
Well, maybe I can just respond. Okay. Sure. He said that, likewise, the proposition which teaches that it is necessary, according to the natural and divine laws, for either excommunication or for suspension, that a personal examination should proceed, and that therefore sentences called ipso facto, meaning by that very fact, have no other force than that of a serious threat without any actual effect, condemned. And St. Robert Bellarmine explains, he says, and he says this in reference to a man who claims to be the Pope, but is a heretic, he says, it is proven with arguments from authority and from reason that the manifest heretic is ipso facto deposed, which means before any excommunication or judicial sentence. And so what your position basically amounts to is that a person is to be considered a Catholic, okay, even though he could believe in anything, as long as he claims to be Catholic and hasn't been formally excommunicated. And that, of course, destroys the unity of faith in the church. There's one faith in the church. And so if you're professing communion or acknowledging as within the communion people who are pro-abortion, people who are pro-gay, and that's what you'd have to do if you accept Benedict XVI, people who don't believe we should convert Protestants, as Benedict XVI holds, people who believe Islam is a good religion, people believe Jews can be saved, okay, you have to hold those people as inside the church. That is to deny the unity of faith in the church, and that is heresy. And that's why your position leads to basically nothingness and theological chaos and the denial of the necessity to hold anything to be a member of the church.
That was not certainly what I meant to say. Maybe I wasn't clear on my position. What I meant to say was that a person who commits a sin does not automatically leave the church because of that sin. If the sin is one of the flesh or one of the spirit or one of doctrines, he still remains in the church until or unless he wishes to leave it and makes that decision to leave it, declares himself to be an ex-Catholic. That was my position. Now, I'm not saying, of course, that any of these, what I am then saying is without that evidence, I think it is rash, improper, and unjust to accuse someone of being an ex-Catholic or a non-Catholic. That was my position.
Well, Pius XII in Mysticu Corporis, he points out that not every sin separates a man from a church, but heresy, schism, and apostasy do separate a man from the church. So my question is this. Can someone who claims to be Catholic, but accepts the Vatican-Lutheran Agreement on Justification, and if you don't know, this agreement says that faith alone is not condemned. Okay, it says that the Lutheran teaching on justification is not condemned. And it also says that the Council of Trent's condemnations against the Lutheran teaching no longer apply. So if someone says, hi, Vin, I'm going to become a Catholic, but I accept justification by faith alone, I don't believe the Council of Trent's condemnations of justification by faith alone and Lutheran teaching apply anymore. But I'm Catholic, and I'm going to believe this because this is what Benedict XVI and John Paul II approved. Is that person... Can that person become a Catholic believing that?
Yes.
That's total heresy.
Okay, I disagree with
you. Okay, so you have to admit that you believe one can be inside the church when he believes in justification by faith alone.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an...
Catholic can make a mistake, and that the mistakes will not exclude him from the church. Now, just to be clear, okay, if the person believes that at the time of his judgment, he'll be damned. So he'll be a Catholic in hell. It won't have done him much good. But what I'm saying is, yes, a person enters the church if he's validly baptized, and then, regardless of what sins he's committed, until he essentially obtains a divorce, he remains a Catholic. And what I'm saying again is, without that type of formal renunciation, I believe it is improper, unjust, and rash to judge people being outside the church.
Well, I think that you've just proven the point here, that the logic of your position leads into apostasy. That, no, you cannot become a Catholic if you do not accept the dogmatic teaching of the church. Those who reject the dogmatic teaching of the church are heretics, and that's why Pope Leo XIII says in Satis Cognitum on the unity of the church that a man who dissents even in one point from the authoritative teaching of the magisterium is to be considered as alien to the church. He's not to be considered as inside the church. Okay, he's to be considered as alien to the church. And that's why there's no unity of faith in your false church. You accept as Catholics people who reject the Council of Trent. You just admitted it. Here's another question I'd ask you. If Benedict XVI and Paul VI, etc., and John Paul II are popes, as you believe, you have to accept Vatican II as the teaching of the church.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, Vatican II, if they are popes, was an ecumenical council. Okay? So, can someone reject Vatican I and be in the church?
I think you mean Vatican II, right?
Well, I'm asking you, hypothetically,
you said Vatican I. I think you meant Vatican II.
Well, no, I meant Vatican I there, because I'm saying, could someone who rejects Vatican I and its teaching on papal infallibility be inside the church?
Oh, not if he does it for... Wait, once again...
If he says, I do not accept... He's aware of what Vatican I taught, and he says, I do not accept that.
Yeah, I have to ask for a clarification here.
Sure.
Because I think he used two different expressions, and I think one was to be a Catholic and the other is to become one. If we're talking about a person who is coming into the church, the standards are different than a person who is baptized as an infant. When a person is baptized as an infant, certain things are assumed, and he becomes part of the church without a formal declaration of compliance, let's say. However, an adult would be different, okay? An adult who says, I'm going to come in the church, but I'm not going to accept the position of abortion, would not be entering into the church. He would be making a farce of things, okay? That would be a different story, and I simply want to draw that distinction, okay? Now, a person who was already in the church, they was validly baptized at one point, normal, or even like a lukewarm Catholic, or a rather bad one, who rejects Vatican I, does not drive himself out of the church. That's my position. He remains a bad Catholic, or a heretical Catholic, or even an excommunicated Catholic, but he is still within the church. That's my position. That sin does not drive a person out. What needs to drive a person out, again, is a voluntary...
So you believe heretics remain part of the church?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay, well, the bull Cantate Domino from the Council of Florence, mm-hmm, infallibly defined, quote, the Holy Roman Church firmly believes, professes, and preaches that all those who are outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans, but also Jews or heretics and schismatics. Okay, so it dogmatically, infallibly defined that all heretics are outside the church. So what you've said is a rejection of the Council of Florence.
No, it didn't say all heretics.
Yeah, it says all those who are outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans, but also Jews, heretics, and schismatics. they're outside the church. Yeah, I'll give you another quote. Pope Innocent III, Eis Exemplo, 1208, by the heart we believe and by the mouth we confess the one church, not of heretics. Okay? There are heretics, it's infallible. It's a de fide truth that you must believe that those who deny the faith are outside the church. What you're saying denies that there's one faith in the church.
Oh, no, no, I'm not denying.
Of course, how can someone who rejects the faith be in the church if there's a unity of faith?
In exactly the same way that a person who commits robbery or commits slander or commits gossip or any other of the sins that we commit, sin against chastity or adultery, remains in the church even though he has committed a sin.
How about this quote? What do you think of this? Pope Leo XIII, Satis Cognito number 9. If anyone holds to a single one of these heresies, he is not a Catholic.
Well, I'd have to know what the heresies were listed, because, again, I certainly agree that if a person holds the heresy, say, that the Catholic Church is not the one true church, that would be equivalent to a formal denunciation of the entire nature of the church, and that would be a formal, in my opinion, would be a formal type of divorce, as I've been using.
Well, Benedict XVI holds that. He holds that the leading pastors, quote, the bishops of the Greek Schismatic Orthodox are in the church. He calls them pastors in the Church of Christ. So he fits the very criteria you've just specified.
Yeah. There's a problem, of course, there. And the problem, of course, is what would be called, perhaps, sometimes called in law, the best evidence rule. The evidence upon which one is basing these charges against the claimants to the papacy is not necessarily valid. In other words, I attribute to you enough goodwill to believe that you believe you're quoting correctly. I do not accept that these quotes are valid.
So you think that that's not an accurate quotation? That's what you're trying to say?
I think it's a very high probability it's not a valid quotation.
Okay, well,
it's English, that is.
These are quotes from the official Vatican newspaper.
Yeah, okay. I'm not doubting that at all.
Okay, and anyone can verify them on the internet. Okay, Benedict XVI, joint declaration with Schismatic Patriarch Bartholomew. This is a leader of a non-Catholic sect. November 30th, 2006, and he says, quote, this commitment, he says some other things, and then he says, this commitment comes from the Lord's will and from our responsibility as pastors in the Church of Christ, end quote. He lavishes praises on their schismatic sects all the time. He says he loves their sect, calls them venerable, talks about how much he esteems it, how much he respects it. John Paul II gave a donation to a schismatic sect. They give communion, or they teach that they may receive communion. But he says clearly, in plain language, in the Vatican newspaper, anyone can verify it's not a fallacious quote. He says, from our responsibility as pastors in the Church of Christ. So he's not only saying that the leading schismatic bishop is in the church, which is formal heresy, but he's saying that he's a pastor in the church, which means that he has jurisdiction, some authority. So, I mean, to deny that is simply apostasy. It's simply to be an utter liar and a heretic, to deny that he believes this. What would you say?
I say that I don't necessarily deny it. I say there is no convincing proof.
There's no what?
No convincing proof.
Okay, so that's not convincing.
Here, follow my point. You use the expression our and we, those words, a couple of times, which, of course, is, you know, reading from the quotation. As you're aware, in English, the word we sometimes refers to the person you're speaking to. Sometimes it doesn't. It's the old thing about, you know, the guy goes into a bar and says, give us a drink, and, you know, the bartender says, what do you got, a mouse in your pocket? Well, what we are we referring to? In some languages, the word we and us is translated, or are translated, by two separate words, including the person spoken to, not including the person spoken to. When those languages are translated into English, or vice versa, a terrible mistake can be made because you don't have that distinction. So once again, if I say the word we, I may be including you, I may not. There's no way in English to tell in and of itself. These are English translations, I presume, perhaps from Latin, perhaps from German. Maybe in those languages they have different pronouns, and that can lead to a terrible misunderstanding. That's number one. Any translation is subject to errors, goodwill errors, or because of the lack of a correspondence of an exact same word, a situation where a misunderstanding can take place through no error. Number two, although I don't believe with it totally, Malachi Martin, who I think you might be familiar with, who was a laicized Jesuit and wrote a great deal on the papacy, and who died a while back ago, put out a thing about John Paul II. And he essentially declared that John Paul II was the prisoner of the Vatican. He said that John Paul II was constantly writing really orthodox encyclicals, but his secretaries were ripping them up, rephrasing them, and issuing them under his name. Now, I found that sort of silly. But the point is, at least one person in the field believed that this was factually correct. And therefore, most, if not all, of the things attributed to John Paul II were incorrectly attributed to John Paul II. That is, the negative ones. I do know for a fact, or at least I trust completely, a fellow who attended a papal talk when John Paul II was in St. Louis. I don't remember what year. And he heard John Paul II say in English, in his own presence, while he was in the church, that there was no salvation outside the church. Now, publicly, I never saw that anywhere.
Yeah, maybe I can respond.
What? Yeah, sure. Go
okay.
ahead.
That, yeah, I have to say that what you've been saying is absurd. We have the Latin text of Vatican II. It teaches the same heresies. The Vatican issues its own translations. He says this in basically every speech, every other week almost. Okay, we post his Heresy of the Week. He's constantly praising the Schismatic Orthodox. To assert that these are all mistranslations is insanity and ridiculous. As far as John Paul II goes, I've read all of his encyclicals. Brother Michael's read every Vatican newspaper copy of the L'Osservatore Romano going back to 1968. Okay, it's everywhere in their writings. It's constant religious indifferentism, respect for false religions, okay, heresy after heresy after heresy. He never taught that you have to be Catholic to be saved. That's just not true. And even if he said it once, it doesn't matter. Pope Pius VI pointed out that heretics always contradict themselves. They always use ambiguity. It doesn't justify all kinds of utterances of heresy here and there. And John Paul II, I mean, his public actions are clear. They're on videotape. He committed total apostasy in Assisi, inviting all the different representatives of the false religions, animists, Buddhists, Hindus, allowed them to preach, basically prayed with them, saying how much, you know, we all respect one another. This is apostasy, and it's explicitly condemned by Pope Pius XI in Mortalium Animos, 1928 encyclical. He says that those who engage in this kind of activity are apostates, that this activity is apostasy from the faith of Christ. And contrary to what you were saying earlier, apostates are outside the church. That's a teaching of the church. He prayed with African animists. Okay, he constantly had these. He venerated Gandhi. He prayed in the mosque. Okay, he went into the synagogue and bowed his head as the Jews prayed for the coming of their Messiah. He went into the Buddhist patriarch and visited him in the Buddhist temple, and bowed right in front of the statue of Buddha and exchanged gifts. I taught that we shouldn't convert non-Catholics, entered into agreements with the leading schismatics that we shouldn't convert them, taught that there are saints and martyrs in non-Catholic religions, approved the Vatican's Balamon statement with the Orthodox, anyone can find it on the internet, which explicitly rejects converting them. It says it's outdated. And on and on and on. He approved the Vatican-Lutheran Agreement on Justification, so he's a heretic. Anyone who would say that he's not a heretic is just a liar once he's seen the evidence. And frankly, it's just Protestantism. But I wanted you to just clarify what you were saying earlier. So you were saying earlier that if someone knows about the Council of Trent and comes to you and says, Vin, I want to convert, but I don't believe in the Council of Trent because the Vatican-Lutheran Agreement says that it no longer applies to the Lutherans. I believe in faith alone. You said that person could become a Catholic and would enter the church.
No, I'm sorry. I should have said could not. That might have been a slip of the tongue. Certainly, if anybody baptized in there, it would have been sacrilege. What I tried to do was draw a distinction between an infant and an adult.
So, but what by what authority would you say that he would not become a member if he's just following what John Paul II and Benedict XVI did?
Oh, Because for two reasons. One is he would be being self-contradictory, and self-contradictory in a rational person could not be accepted as virtuous. And two, we're not obligated to follow what is reported with John Paul II and anybody else when he's wrong. Again, I come back down to it, if I may. I've been involved several times with the mass media. I've been involved with press people. I've been involved with press releases. And when, despite the fact that I have given out, at times, extremely detailed press releases, I have read in the newspaper something quite different than what I gave out. If I use just one example, you mentioned that I think one of these claimants used the word, you used the word saints and martyrs in other religions. Well, that's very interesting. Once again, we have the translation. I have seen on network news shows, when they talk about Iraq and Afghanistan, they often talk about their holy cities, and they'll talk about people who are on their pilgrimages to various different Mohammedan saints or martyrs. They use those expressions. I think they use those expressions because whatever the Arabic, and I assume it would be an Arabic term that these people, that properly describes these people, they translate into English as saint and martyr. That doesn't mean that the CNN reporter is accepting these people as saints and martyrs. I'm saying, once again, when we deal with problems with translations from some other language, then maybe into Latin and then maybe into English, there's a very good chance of equivalences in the language giving the implication that we have equivalences in meaning when we don't.
Do you mind if I respond to that?
Well, let me just...
Okay, go ahead.
Information point, please. What I'm saying is my position has been that for an awful long time, most of the Vatican has been corrupt. I wouldn't be at all surprised if the official translations are slanted, distorted, and simply fabricated, and that this is done for the sole purpose of attacking the Church, quote-unquote, from the inside. And I do not find it at all inconceivable or irrational or insane that we are not getting, in many cases, if not the vast majority, actually what was originally said.
Well, that is insane because, number one, he teaches it in his encyclical Udonum Sin, which you can look at the Latin online. Okay, it's also officially translated by the Vatican. It's not like his enemies are translating this. He says, quote, "These saints come from all the churches and ecclesial communities," referring to Protestant churches, "which gave them entrance into the communion of salvation." He says it in tons of speeches. We have a whole list of the quotes, which are all published in his newspaper, on and on and on. For instance, in his general audience, 1999, he talks about how the Orthodox and Protestants have martyrs. He talks about we have a common martyrology in Ut Unum Sint. He talks about how the saints and martyrs, the ecumenism of the saints and martyrs in his speech to the schismatic Caricon II in November 9, 2000. But if you want to insist upon the Latin, we could look at the Latin in Vatican II and in its decree on non-Christian religions. And we quote this in our book, where it says in Latin, basically almost word for word, the opposite of what Pope Eugene IV defined at the Council of Florence. And we quote this, that the Council of Florence defined that the Church rejects, anathematizes, and condemns whoever holds opposing or contrary views. Okay, and the word it used to say rejects, that the Church rejects, such as the Jews who do not believe in Christ, is reprobat. Okay, it's from the verb reprobo. Well, Vatican U used a form of the exact same verb in Nostra Aetate number 4 to say that the Jews should not be presented as having been rejected. Okay, it says reprobati. And so the Jews should not be presented as having been rejected, whereas the Catholic Church teaches that the Jews are rejected because they disbelieve in the Lord. So it teaches exactly the opposite of the Catholic Church. And if you're right, which you're not, your position's heretical, but if you're right, then that means that the Catholic Church has contradicted itself, because Vatican II is the teaching of your, quote, popes.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Am I supposed to go now?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can respond or... Oh, another thing I wanted to say in reference to what you were saying about the Lutherans. So you admit that the guy who comes to you and says, Vin, I want to become a Catholic, but I disbelieve in the Council of Trent. I believe in faith alone. He can or cannot become Catholic?
Cannot.
Okay, well, then you'd have to admit that Benedict XVI can't be Catholic believing that same thing.
No, it's quite a bit of difference to not become something or not still be in something. A man without a hand cannot enter the army of the United States because it's simply a physical disqualification. But I myself saw a career sergeant who had a hook instead of his hand because they made an exception once he was in the service to allow him to stay in the service in a non-combat role. And it's the same thing. Police officers cannot enter police departments when they're 40 years old. However, they can stay in the department when they're 40 years old. There's a difference between remaining in somewhere and gaining entrance to somewhere. Okay. I draw that distinction.
Oh, can I respond?
Oh, sure.
That doesn't work at all because there are no exceptions to being able to reject the Catholic faith. Okay, it's not like one person in the church. If you're joining the Catholic Church, you can't reject dogmas. But if you've been there for a while, you can see dogmas and reject them. No, that's an absurd, crazy argument. That you're saying that Benedict the 16th, he's allowed to know about the Council of Trent and say it doesn't apply. But this guy who meets you, he's bound by the Council of Trent. That's ridiculous. No, if one of them can be in the church rejecting the Council of Trent, such as Benedict XVI or John Paul II, then the other guy could enter the church holding the same position. You can't say that one of them is a heretic, but the other isn't, if they're both clearly denying the Council of Trent. And so that's why the position is completely illogical and heretical.
A person can't be a heretic until he becomes a Catholic. That's my position.
He can't be a heretic in what? I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Say, a person cannot become a heretic until he is first a Catholic. Otherwise, he's simply a non-believer. A Jew rejects the Council of Trent, I'm sure. That is a religious Jew, if there are such things. Simply because he rejects the entire structure of Catholicism. What I'm saying is there's a difference between a person rejecting things from the inside and a person rejecting things from the outside. I'm sorry here. My dog decided to walk by.
That's all right. Do you want to just take a break?
No. We're all right.
All right.
Allow me to say...
I need to take a quick break.
Oh, sure. What do you want to do? You want to hang up?
And then I'll call you back?
Yeah, that's not a problem. Hang on a second. Go ahead.
Okay.